The New Year's sermon series is titled The Great Physician, as we hear stories and messages about our need for healing and God's provision. Today's reading is from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, and it is recorded on page 96 in the New Testament portion of the Red Pew Bible, in the bulletin, and on the screen. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Happy New Year. Thank you. Blessed New Year. We begin our 2019 in worship here with a new sermon series. It's titled The Great Physician. And so over the next 9 weeks, we're going to lean into a variety of healing stories. And so we're also going to be talking about a variety of healing needs. You know, we as a broken, sinful human race, we face lots of healing needs. And so we have this one who we call, referred to as the Great Physician. So we're going to be talking about not just subjects of healing of illness. We're going to be talking about healing of relationships, healing in marriages, healing through forgiveness, healing from worry, from guilt, temptation, depression, even demons. Today, healing has to do with simply asking a question that we didn't make up. Jesus made it up. Jesus asked a sick man, "Do you want to be healed?" Sure seems like an obvious answer to me. Rhetorical, if not crazy, to ask that question. I mean, who doesn't want to be made well, right? Who doesn't want to be restored to full health? Let's see what we might learn from this Bible story and a closer look. The Bible story says that Jesus was in Jerusalem and he was by the sheep gate. And so there's a map of the city of Jerusalem, and at the top right corner up there is, if you can't see it, it's the sheep gate. And so we only think that gated communities are a recent thing. The city of Jerusalem was a walled city. And at different times in its history, there were a number of different gates which served as the entrances, the exits to the capital city. You know, sort of like you look at Fredericksburg and we have different entries into our town here. We have Highway 16, 290, 87, other farm-to-market roads. So depending upon which time in history and depending upon the particular need or business at hand, people entered through various gates. So there was a fish gate, and that's where the fishermen would bring their catch, and that's where they would sell their fish. There was the horse gate that was close to the king's palace so that the soldiers could mount up and ride into war if they had to. There was the fountain gate, which was used for ritual cleansing. There was the dung gate, where waste and trash was taken out to be burned. There was the water gate, where President Richard Nixon was caught for spying. I was just seeing if you were listening. That was a different gate. There was the Jerusalem gate. Well, that was the water gate. That's where they went and got the water. Didn't want that to be mixed up with the dung and all that kind of stuff. All various gates for various purposes. And so one of these portals, the one that we hear about in tonight's Bible reading, was the sheep gate. And that's the entrance for the shepherds who sold their sheep to be offered for sacrifice at the temple. And so near this gate, very near this gate, was a spring known as the Pool of Bethesda. And it had five porticos, and a portico is a porch. And so it had five porches around it. You can kind of imagine, if you will, a resort, a summer swimming pool resort, and has coverings around the outside, provides shade, provides shelter from the sun. But in this case, lying around the pool, not your basic tourist sunbathers. They weren't lathered up with lotion and liquored up with libations. But the story literally says that there were many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. It was a gathering place for the homeless, a gathering place for people who were disabled. And they would meet there and beg for money as people came to sell their sheep, the meat sheep merchants coming and going through that particular city gate. But what's more important in this particular story is that beneath this pool, there was this subterranean stream which periodically bubbled up water. And it was believed, it was taught that this bubbling was caused by an angel. And the very first one who would reach the pool, get into the pool, would be healed from whatever illness they had. You know, sort of like a hot springs, if you will, but it had this spiritual power to back it up. It's here at this pool that Jesus fixes his eyes on a certain individual. On a man, it says, the man is nameless. We do know this. He's been ill for 38 years. We don't know the nature of the illness, but we do know that he's been evidently bedridden longer than Jesus has been alive. Jesus was somewhere between 30 and 33 years old at this time. This man had been ill for 38 years, four decades nearly, of being sick and stuck to a mat. You know, some of us possibly have suffered from something for a very long time. Maybe you've battled with cancer, maybe for 10 or 20 years. Maybe you've had this lingering fight with cerebral palsy or Parkinson's, diabetes, depression, or memory loss. Maybe it's a continual campaign to keep your marriage afloat for the past 25 years. Maybe it's a near lifelong wrestling with an addiction. Possibly it's a daily fight with a certain temptation. Or possibly a loved one of yours has been imprisoned by a stroke for the last 10 or 12 years. You know, being and experiencing any type of these illnesses can seem like a very long time, no matter how long it is, right? Especially when it's you. I recall a couple years ago when I was recovering from knee joint replacement surgery, and the restoration on my second knee didn't go as well as the restoration on my first knee. There was with my second one, a few complications. There was more swelling, more stiffness. There was this possible infection going on, a reaction to medications, all these setbacks, and I got really frustrated with it. It lasted 4 weeks, 4 weeks of hurdles. I got to tell you, those 4 weeks felt more like 4 months. I recall telling Tammy, my wife, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Now, I don't mean to say that a knee surgery is a big deal compared to some of the really big stuff that others have going on in their life. But in the moment, at the time, for me, it was. You see, when it's you, or when it's your loved one, a month can seem like a year. A year can seem like a decade. A decade can seem like a lifetime. And 38 years, can you imagine? 38 years can seem like an eternity, especially if it's you. So Jesus asked the man, he said, do you want to be made well? And of course, he, like any of us, wants to be healed. We're thinking in our heads, are you kidding me? What kind of ridiculous question is that? But you might be surprised at the number of us who really don't want to be healed, because healing can many times involve change. You know, there's some of us who desire wholeness in whatever brokenness may be going on in your life. Maybe it's with your body, your marriage, your family. Maybe it's in your job, your heart, or your mind. We want healing, but we really don't want to do what's necessary for a healing change to occur. There are a lot of women in our town who are in sick relationships of abuse. But they don't want to do the necessary thing to bring about healing because it will require them to call the police or maybe to move out. There's persons who are diseased in our community with an addiction to alcohol, but they don't want to take the required steps of hope because it may mean a life change. There are men in our community who feed on the nasty appetite of lust by watching the Playboy channel, but don't want the healing of that particular demon to be cast out by blocking the channel. I knew a woman in my previous congregation in South Texas, and she had lost her husband about 10 years before I had gotten there. And I came there as pastor, and I was there for 9 years. And when I left, her grief was just as intense after those 9 years, no, after those 19 years, as it was in the very beginning. It seemed like she really didn't want to be healed from her sadness. Some of us may say we want to be made well in the various kinds of brokenness that go on in our life, but this healing often means change. Healthy healing often is taking on a greater responsibility for ourselves. You see, sometimes in order for me to work through the grief, I need to go to a grief group. In order to bring about reconciliation in a wounded relationship, maybe I need to pick up the phone and make the call. In order to gain accountability as an addict, maybe I need to attend those group meetings. In order to restore my marriage, maybe I need to make that appointment with that counselor. In order to get a job, maybe I need to actually go and apply for some. In order to get out of credit card debt, maybe I need to shred the plastic. You know, you could go on and on and on. So many times we complain about our condition. We say we want things to change, be healed, and be made better, but we can tend to make excuses instead of taking action. Sort of like this man in the Bible story. If we look real closely at this Bible story, the man says this: I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me. I don't know if that's an excuse or not, but I know that I can make excuses when push comes to shove, or maybe blame others, or maybe want to wait for someone else to fix my problem for me. And it's in our blaming, it's in our waiting that we sometimes get comfortable. So sometimes we even get comfortable in our brokenness in our lives. I recall a single mom in that same South Texas church that I served some years ago. And it seemed like every other month, she and her daughter were in some sort of crisis. Some sort of new issue was going on. She was either battling the school principal by defending her daughter's inappropriate behavior, or she was in another fight with another boyfriend this time, or she was in some type of drama with a church member. It seemed that she sort of lived for the crisis, that she got energy from the crisis, that she thrived on the attention, maybe playing the victim sometimes, telling the story. It was almost as if the family needed to have a regular personal dysfunction emergency in order to keep them together. In this story, Jesus does something kind of out of character for Jesus, I think. He says something quite bold, almost insensitive to the man who's been ill and laying on his mat for 38 years. He doesn't talk about faith. He doesn't talk about looking to him as the great physician. He just looks at him and he says, "Stand up, take up your mat, and walk." And I don't believe Jesus is talking about picking yourself up by your bootstraps. I don't think he's saying that. I don't think he's talking about being a self-made person. I don't think he's talking about doing it all on your own. But there are many times when healing involves me taking a greater initiative, a larger responsibility, to quit waiting for someone to help me, to fix me, to quit the excuses and blaming, and to let the power of Jesus in us, to raise us. You know, it sounds to me like that's almost resurrection language. Resurrection language. Get up, he says. Like, rise up, stand up. Get beyond just the laying parallel to the ground like you're in a casket in the grave. And allow the power of Jesus that already lives in you by virtue of you being a child of God to raise you to a new position. You know, sometimes when I'm working on a problem, it could be something at the church. Maybe it's a sermon. or maybe it's an issue with a couple of people in the congregation and how we're going to crack that nut. Or maybe it's something at home, trying to figure out finances, whatever it is. And I'm working. I'm hard at it. And I'm in this position, and I'm kind of sitting down. I'm not laying down, but I'm with it. I'm almost stuck to it. And I can't figure it out. I can't get there. And sometimes we just think if we keep working on it, it'll get better. And it doesn't. And so sometimes I've just got to get up. I've got to rise up and walk around the building. Walk around the house. Walk around this block and get a breath of fresh air and then come back to it with a new position, a new perspective. You see, Satan would rather have us lying flat on our backs, wallowing in our brokenness, which, you know, at times can turn to self-pity. She cheated on me, you know. That's why I am the way I am. He got the job because he knows the boss. Or, I grew up poor. I was abused as a child. Or my dad left us when we were young. Or the judge was against me. You see, our faith doesn't give us amnesia when it comes to the wounds and the scars that we experience in this life. But neither does our faith give us permission to remain lying on the carpet. Jesus wants to give us the faith to claim that resurrection power that lives in us. To stand up, to take up, and to walk, to walk in the direction of healing. Even if sometimes it's baby steps and we fall down, but baby steps over the long haul of time. You put enough baby steps together, that's actually walking. Tammy and I have a grand nephew. His name is Liam. And Liam was born with lots of congenital birth defects. One of them including a major heart issue. And so he's had multiple surgeries, corrective surgeries, and he's progressively doing better. Praise be to God. Liam is now 2.5 years old. One of the issues that he has had is this delayed developmental motor skills, and he hadn't been able to stand up and walk. Just can't. He's way behind the curve of kids his age, so he's not on the chart even. Not even close to his normal growth scale. And so, you know, it had been real easy, just so easy for his mom and his dad to continue to do what they did at 12 months and at 14 months and 16 months and even 24 months. And what was that? That was pick him up and take him wherever he needed to go. To the bathroom to take a bath, or to the kitchen to get fed, or to daycare to be cared for during the day, or wherever that might be, to do all the walking for him. Maybe even for the next 38 years. But they didn't do that. They continued to coach, to challenge, even when it hurt, even command. And he tried and fell until one day this last September at the age of 27 months. Oh, I ain't going to tell you about it. I want you to see it. Let's see if we can pull it up. I wish we had sound on that, but I guess we don't. Yeah, there it is. So that's my niece right there. The daycare person was saying, stand up, stand up, stand up. And he was, you know, doing that little wobble thing that he was doing right there. And the mom at the end, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Because that was the first time that he had walked across the room. From what bed do you need to be raised? Do you really want to be healed? Where do you need to stand up, to take up, and at least try a step in faith? And it might be real easy for the next 38 years or so for someone just to carry you through whatever may be hampering you from the full and whole life that God intends for you. And it's even as we try and fall, try and fail, try and fall, try and fail, that we put together in faith this series of baby steps by claiming the power of the one. The one who stood up for sinners. The one who took up his cross. The one who walked out of the tomb for us. That we might come to experience a whole new world of hope and of healing. It's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.